Comic books are read by people who read. Comic books are commented on by people who think. They're not for stupid people, and they're not for ignorant people, and they're not for non-leaders. They are for everybody, but as from my experience, they go directly to people who have things to say, who will have things to say in the future. And the fact that they're being done the way they are, and the fact that they're being done by people who really care about what's going on in America, is, I believe, is going to make a difference. And it's not a small thing that's happening there, and I'm very happy to see it happen.
That was Neil Adams speaking on an early episode of Nuff Set. To hear thought-provoking and entertaining discussion on the subject of comics, tune in every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. for Nuff Said here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And visit our website, nuffsaid.net, for our upcoming schedule of guests. See you there.
And that's coming up in just 2 hours here in WBAI New York. But now it's time for Off the Hook. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this fine Tuesday evening. And we're going to do something a little bit different this week. Something we don't ordinarily do. Something I actually can't remember us doing a long time. We're going to start off with some good news.
Good news?
Yeah. Yes, Isaac. Good news.
Where did we find good news?
Well, we found good news. It actually sort of came to us. And came to us. And here's another first. Through the court system. That's right.
Wait a second.
We actually have good news that we're starting off with.
That's remarkable. Not only is it good news that we've managed to dig up, mm-hmm. but it came from the American judicial system.
Yeah, that definitely did.
That's bizarre. Okay.
It is bizarre. I have to pinch myself a few times to make sure it actually happened. But fact of the matter is, as you heard on these radio waves starting last summer, when our layout artist, Shapeshifter, was arrested at the Republican National Convention, held on $500,000 bail.
Yeah, what did they pick him up for again?
That's kind of a hard thing to say. We have him on the line. We're okay. going to have him answer these hard-hitting questions. But I just want to say, you know, I'm learning something about the value of us as individuals. Our case against, actually it was MPAA's case against us, but our defense against the MPAA cost over $1 million. Yeah, and
wow.
That makes me realize that, yeah, in fact, we are worth $1 million, you know. People have said that many times, but now I know it's true. But the fact of the matter
You've
is...
You've got to stack of paperwork to prove it.
Electronic right? Frontier Foundation is the organization that actually shelled out that kind of money, and we have to kind of help them stand back up again, because that was an incredible outpouring. And it's not over yet, and there's more cases that are coming down the pike. But then Shapeshifter held on $500,000 bail, basically just for... Shapeshifter, you're there on the phone with us, aren't you?
Yeah.
Ah, welcome. First of all, congratulations. You were acquitted on all counts last week.
Acquitted? Woohoo!
Yeah. You want to tell us something about that?
Well, yeah, it was, you know, basically, like, it was sort of an amazing, it was sort of surreal, actually. I shouldn't say amazing.
You know, those little beeps represent Bernie S., who apparently could not hold on to his phone connection.
No.
I'm going to put you on hold while I try and salvage that. Actually, I wound up putting Bernie S. on hold. Are you still there, Shapeshifter?
Yeah. I'm
okay.
There.
Why don't you? You talk to us while I try to get Bernie back.
All right. Yeah, it was sort of surreal, you know, being arrested by over 20 police officers, including the deputy police commissioner, and getting a $500,000 bail off for misdemeanor charges, and then it, you know, the prosecution's case crumbled, basically, even before the jury got to make a decision, the judge threw it out.
Oh, jeez. Not bad.
Yep. I believe the judge's words in particular was saying that the prosecution's case was evidence was underwhelming, to say the least. And the jury basically, you know, well, this one juror, when he came out, he shook my hand and said, sorry, you had to go through this. So it was basically the prosecution's, they just case just fell apart, and it was pretty obvious because they were lying to begin with, and they had a cop from D.C. who came up to Philadelphia to he was in the intelligence bureau, and he came up, I guess, to do intelligence.
Well, he certainly failed doing that, didn't he?
Who's the intelligence bureau?
Pretty much did. You know, he wasn't all that together, and he claims that he saw me in a place which I wasn't in, and said I led a protest, which actually the people I was accused of leading a protest to the people who they blocked the street for about half an hour, and when they were asked to leave by the police officers, they got up and left.
So,
and so that's what I was held on $500,000 bail for, was accused of leading a group of people who blocked the street for half an hour.
How did they determine you were the leader of the group? Were you wearing like some baseball cap that said, you know, big man or something? What was that?
No. He supposedly saw me talking on a cell phone, and he said that I was very intense at this moment, and I got down on one knee, and I pointed in the direction that all these people would then go and block the street.
Well, you know, it's interesting you should point this out, because I happened to do some research at the time of these alleged phone calls, and I realized that I was, in fact, speaking to you at that time. And I seem to have somehow gotten involved in this, even though I wasn't trying to. But in fact, you were able to pretty much account for most of the phone calls you were getting. Your friends, your mother, me, you know, all kinds of people talking to you.
None of which were actually protesting, so.
Yeah.
I was around. In fact, you can listen to a radio show where I was down there on that Tuesday, and I was commenting on how peaceful everything was and how, you know, certain things were happening in different parts of the city. And I was basically calling you to let you know, hey, I'm over here now, and things seem, you know, interesting, and we're trading information, trading stories. I guess that makes me part of the conspiracy?
Yeah. You know, you should be careful. Actually, I think that their intelligence was based on watching the TV and newspapers, because me and two other alleged ringleaders, Kate Sorensen and John Sellers of the Ruckus Society, we all made statements to the press beforehand, and we all were targeted as ringleaders, and when I was arrested, all the police were calling me by name. So they were obviously following people.
They already had that much.
Yep.
But they took you away. How long has this been going on, this whole court?
Since August.
Since August. But it's finally gone now.
Yeah.
Very good. I'm glad to hear it.
Well, for now, anyway. Well, there's always next time.
All that noise indicates that Bernie S. is now joining us. Bernie, you're with us.
Walking the streets of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. We don't need to know about that. But basically, can you tell us something about the...
Don't point at anything.
Yeah.
Be careful. You might be leading a protest.
You were in the courtroom last Friday?
Actually, I was there just as things were wrapping up.
Uh-huh.
But there was much excitement in the air.
Tell us something about the scene.
Well, there was much jubilation. There was the smell of victory in the air. You might even say it was the scent of justice.
Well, it's a scent we don't get too often around here.
No, it was quite a contrast from the usual stench of our criminal courts.
Mm-hmm. Now, Shapeshift, let me ask you, now, how did this actually come about? You were basically there, a jury had been selected on Thursday. Did you get to say anything?
No, I didn't get to say anything. The prosecution presented their evidence, which consisted of one supposedly eyewitness, one police officer, whose job it was to videotape. They showed their videotape. I wasn't on the videotape. The only portion of the videotape I was on was after the fact, an hour and a half after this alleged protest happened. And then we during cross-examination, we showed our video, which shows me at the same time in another location. And after that, my lawyer filed a motion for acquittal, which means to throw out the charges. And the judge, after contemplating it, he just decided to throw it out.
Bernie, hi. What are you doing?
There's a screaming crowd of tourists.
That didn't sound like happy tourists to me. That sounded like terrified people.
Actually, it was a police car that was honking at these student tourists. And I'm not sure whether it was a friendly honk or an unfriendly honk, but I had to run through this crowd of maybe 30 people who were screaming.
Well, it didn't sound like happy screaming to me. Okay, well, before things break out into more rioting down there, let's just try and get through the story of what happened in court. So basically, were you surprised when the judge actually, I mean, I was shocked to find out that he actually granted the motion, but did it surprise you that he did that?
Yeah, he surprised me. I didn't want my lawyer to file that motion because I was prepared to prove my innocence. And I also prepared a closing statement that I felt that, you know, the jury had its every right to you know, hear some more explanation of why they are there for this, you know, for this case.
Well, why don't you give us the explanation then, as much of it as you can, since you didn't get to do it in court.
Well, it's pretty long, so I don't want to take up too much time.
Well, you can summarize it.
But basically, I was arrested by over 20 police officers, and, you know, given a $500,000 bail, basically for what I believe to be, you know, even the prosecutor said himself, this isn't the crime of the century. So why was I given a $500,000 bail? I think it was for actually what we are protesting, which is the Republican National Convention, and more specifically, the criminal and justice system.
You know, it might be useful to point out that $500,000 bail is a quite a lot higher than many people are held on murder charges.
That's right. That's right. And Bernie, you were held on no bail, so.
Yeah, and then I was transferred to another facility. My bail was lowered, I guess, from an infinite level to $250,000, but they said cash. The judge said cash bail, which in Pennsylvania means you're not allowed to put up to 10%, which fortunately Terrence was able to, and some friends were able to help him out.
Now,
my bail was the equivalent of $2.5 million bail.
You raise an interesting point. Now, yeah, as we all know, some of us were able to raise at that point, since his bail was lowered from $500,000 to, what was it lowered to?
$100,000.
$100,000. So that meant that if we came up with $10,000, we could get him out, and that's what wound up happening the week after. Now, there is some discussion that I just was privy to a little while ago where, not only are they delaying getting that money back, but there might even be a possibility that they're going to keep some of it. Is that actually true?
Not a possibility. It's a policy that's more or less set in stone with the Philadelphia Bail Agency. It's the part of the city of Philadelphia that accepts bail payments. And in Pennsylvania, there are no at least in this part of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia County. It has its own government bail agency, which means if the judge doesn't say cash bail, it means you can put up collateral like a house or something, or alternatively 10% of the bail amount.
Mm-hmm.
In Terrence's case, it was lowered after he spent about a week in horrendous conditions in prison. It was lowered from $500,000 to $100,000. So 10% of that, some friends were able to raise for him. $10,000 was enough to spring him. But the Philadelphia Bail Agency has a policy that they will keep 30% of that or $2,500, whichever is reached first, as sort of a, just sort of to pay for their trouble. Time,
wait, hold on. Everybody, everywhere, stop. Now, hold on a second. He was found innocent. He was found innocent. How can they keep money that was taken from people to bail him out when he was found innocent?
Because they can, but... we'll be in touch with Terrence's lawyer.
Yeah,
we'll have him file a motion to request that the judge issue an order that this full $10,000 be released. It just seems almost counterproductive for the city to be able to keep $2,500 for what the judge himself admitted was an injustice.
It's pure robbery. they're stealing money from people.
If the city profits thousands of dollars for perpetrating an injustice,
mm-hmm.
then what incentive is there for them to stop doing this? It's clear financial incentive for them to lock people in jail with no cause, which clearly happened here. The judge himself said
mm-hmm.
he didn't feel that there was even criminal conduct going
and
on.
Imagine,
here.
God forbid, we had come up with the $100,000 to start with, you know, then or $500,000, whatever percentage it would have been to get them out the first time, they would have kept that much more, because that's
the
percentage.
What a great system where the judge even says that this apologizes for the city, keeping Terrence in jail. I mean, Terrence would have been in jail for months
mm-hmm.
if this bail money had not been raised. And the city still gets to keep thousands of dollars of this money that his friends raised just because it's their policy, even though the courts even ruled that the charges were completely groundless.
But, you know, Bernie, even if he was guilty, you're still supposed to get the bail money back as long as you don't skip town. I mean, that's always been my understanding of bail.
That would seem to be the fair thing to do, but the Philadelphia Bail Agency has a written policy of keeping... 30% or $2,500.
I mean, by that logic, it's okay for you to like escape 30% of the time because you know that's just the way it goes.
Well, as we're starting to learn, logic and common sense and fairness aren't even part of the equation when it comes to the criminal justice system. They're not even trying to apply them because they don't. I mean, they should, mm-hmm. but they don't.
Has anyone challenged this?
Well, that's what we're doing right now. Yeah, we're in the process of challenging, because I'm in the process of learning about this, and I find it unbelievable that that's actually how the system works.
And it's not so much about the money. It's trying. You need to create a disincentive for the city for doing this again to someone else. If they can lock somebody up
mm-hmm.
without cause, which clearly happened here according to a judge, and the city profits thousands of dollars from doing this, then it's not going to stop.
Right. Well, I think Shapeshifter has a great chance here for a civil suit against the city. I don't know if he wants to talk about that at all, if that's even been broached as a possibility. But it sure seems to me, a week in jail with hardened criminals and, you know, very bad conditions, And
it certainly would have been, it would have been months in jail had this money not been raised by people. It's just fortunate that it happened. But there are a lot of people who are not in a position where they have a good support network around them, and they languish in jail for months, and in some cases the charges are dismissed. So, yeah, just, you know, no justice going on here, really.
Okay, we're going to have to move on, but any final comments from you guys?
Actually, you know, I just want to bring up the fact that, you know, this isn't just, like, this doesn't just happen at and during protests. This sort of thing and this overcharging and, you know, the prosecution of people happens every day, and mostly in the neighborhoods and the communities of color inside Philadelphia. They face this every day. You know, there's people, you know, I had a $100,000 bail, and I was able to get out. But there's people who have $200 bails who aren't able to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like you have to take into account that, you know, not everybody has the resources to do this, and it affects somebody just as much when they have a $200 bail and they can't pay it. And it's, I also just like to say that, you know, the circumstances that brought people to protest the Republican convention, they still exist, and this is certainly isn't the last time that people are going to see protests like this or people resisting.
Good.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for, you know, for doing what you do, for standing up for what you believe in. I think that's something that everybody should appreciate. And we'll be continuing to follow the aftermath of this case for however long it takes. And, of course, all the other incidents that lie ahead of us as people exercise their rights to express themselves in various forums. Anything coming up that you want to share with us, Shapeshifter, as far as actions in the future?
I believe that some people are, the American Correctional Association will be meeting in Philadelphia, and I believe that people are going to have an alternative conference, too.
That sounds like, who are those people?
This is the prisons, the prison industry.
So it's going to be pretty much the entire prison industry. Everybody who makes a buck off of incarcerating people is from people who make fences, for people who get contracts to make food. People who run private prisons, they're all going to be...
I want a piece of these people. When is this going to be?
It's going to be in August from the 11th to the 15th, and I believe there are some protests, and we'll hear more as things shape up, but there's definitely going to be... I definitely think there's going to be a presence to a challenge.
Okay, well, if you don't wind up going to HAL in the Netherlands this August and you stay in the States, this is the place to be, I think, at the American Correctional Association, is it?
Yes.
Okay, that's going to be in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, again, thanks so much for joining us and for your courage. And we'll continue to keep people appraised of the situation. And we look forward to the next issue of 2600 where your work will be displayed.
All right.
And Bernie, are you sticking with us?
Yeah, I'll stick with you. I did want to raise something relevant to this. This sort of injustice going on with the Republican National Convention protesters, that's not being lost on the public. At least here in Philadelphia, there's an independent newspaper that's or semi-independent. It's a weekly, free weekly called the Philadelphia City Paper. There was a great political cartoon in this week's issue that pictured Lynn Abraham, the Philadelphia District Attorney, saying, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the cartoon in front of me. It was a half-page cartoon with her ranting about these protesters who were making a lot of noise and saying things that were something had to be done about these protesters. And then in the next frame, she's saying, "Well, we'll just lock them all up on $1 million bail or close to it, as in Terrence's case, it's $500,000 bail." And then she says. But on May 16th, almost a year later, we'll dismiss the charges or we'll drop the charges. So then she said in the last frame, "Well, see, I did something about it." This was in the Philadelphia City Paper.
Uh-huh.
You can do a web search for Philadelphia City Paper and see this cartoon. So this is not this is not something that the news about this is getting out to the public. This is not a something that's just being covered on Off the Hook and in niche media outlets. This is hitting mainstream media, which is a very good thing and surprising thing. Usually this sort of stuff gets swept under the rug, but a lot of people are learning about this, and it's I've heard about this on the Philadelphia News Radio, on and other newspapers here in Philadelphia. There's a lot of controversy about how how this was handled, how these protest cases were handled. And there's going to be some accounting, I'm sure. There's some definite civil actions which are, I think, warranted. And I wish anyone who chooses to...
I'm sorry, you're having the Sprint effect on your voice there, Bernie, but hopefully we won't lose you totally. Again, Shapeshifter, you have to go, right?
Yes.
Okay, so thanks again for joining us, and hopefully we'll be able to restore Bernie to his rightful place in the phone world. Let's get rid of this line and bring Bernie back. Bernie, are you there? Well, I guess Bernie is not there. Okay, well, we're going to try and get Bernie back. He shouldn't wander around like that.
That's, well, you know.
What happens when you're on the phone.
Maybe the crowd got him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we have all kinds of other things going on. There's no news yet on the hearing last week. The appeal took place last Tuesday for the DECSS case. We expect something to be happening. Well, it could happen any time, but probably sometime towards the end of this month or maybe the next couple of months. We don't really know. It's up to them when they decide to come down with an answer. The audio of the case is up on our website, www.2600.com. Go on the front page, and you'll see basically an audio file of what happened during the court session. And I suggest everybody listen to this because I think we presented a really good case. I really do. And I think Dean Sullivan did an amazing job as far as just presenting our arguments in a very forceful way and standing up to a lot of hard questioning by the judges. And it's also very important to listen to the other side as well and hear just how they're coming at this thing.
If hearing the case is not incentive enough for you, there are some great comic gems in the other side's
What are some that that you remember?
I just like the metaphor that the guy gave of ripping open DVDs.
Yeah, he did say that, didn't he?
Wasn't there something about a crowbar?
The whole thing has been compared to a digital crowbar.
Digital crowbar.
And the whole comparison to about the air traffic control systems and DCSS,
that's how they started. They said if this was about air traffic control, nobody would be arguing whether or not this is a First Amendment issue.
That's right, but he doesn't know that DCSS only does nuclear missile launches. Not air traffic control.
That's right. That's right.
That's a patch you need.
We're trying to get Bernie back.
Please tell me one of the judges said, "Sir, but this isn't about air traffic control."
Yeah, actually, the judge did point out that there's no fair use with air traffic control.
Very
systems.
Good. Okay. Yeah. But,
it was
that's comforting.
A positive sign to start off the case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have some news items, and then we have the new lawsuit to deal with.
I can't take your call now. But if you leave your name, number, and
why don't we just do the whole show?
Would you like to?
Or
as soon as I can.
Would I like to what?
Well, who's
calling? To leave a voice message, press 1.
You know, you can now send voicemail on Sprint without ringing somebody's phone.
Yeah.
If you have a Sprint account, that just started. Right. All right.
I wonder how many people stay in jail without paying their bail because they'll save
when you are finished
up to
$2,500.
Hang on.
Options.
That's the beep.
Yeah, no kidding. That's
hey, this is off the hook. We tried calling you back, but we're going to have to go on with the show now.
Yeah, this is proof that. How long do you think we can talk for before it?
I don't know.
I've had a voicemail that lasted over half an hour.
And
it was some guy who sat on his phone in a conference room, and I got to hear the whole meeting, and my voicemail was somewhat amusing.
Well, you know, a lot of these phones call people on their own. In fact, I often get voicemail from people at all different phone numbers, and you just hear them, you hear the phone moving around in their pocket, and it lasts for about 5 minutes. And it's really, sometimes you hear some interesting things you're not supposed to hear,
mm-hmm.
put it that way. Okay, we have some news here, so let's get into that right away. There's a new bill being prepared in Nassau County. You know about the lovely bill in Suffolk County that prevents you from talking on the cell phone as you drive unless you buy an expensive car kit thing, which I think is more of a hazard than holding something up to your ear. I mean, I know people who cannot eat a sandwich and drive in a car, all right? And I know people who can have full, you know, 7-course dinners in cars and drive without a problem. Now, are they going to say that you can't, you know, eat a sandwich in the car at the same time because some people can't handle it? Are they going to say you can't yell at your 3-year-old back in the, you know, in the back seat because that might distract you as well? I mean, how many kinds of regulations are we going to have here?
Have you seen those people on the LIE in the morning who are actually reading the paper? They've got it, like, stretched out over top of the steering wheel, and they're just reading the paper, doing, like, 30 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening. I mean, absolutely frightening.
I only do that if I'm standing still on the expressway, and that happens quite a bit.
But there's no law against that.
Well, I mean, there shouldn't be a law against any of these stupid things. Well, it's common sense, you know? If you drive recklessly, all right, drive recklessly, then that's, you know, okay, that's an offense. But there's so many ways to drive recklessly. Are we going to make a law for every possible way to drive recklessly, you know? It's like being in kindergarten.
But that gives so many people so much things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You make new laws, make new prison cells, creates money.
It's interesting you should mention that because Westchester now...
Westchester
also has a law against this. I'm looking for the actual part here, but I believe it's Westchester where you can actually wind up in prison.
Woohoo!
Yeah, you can wind up in prison for 10 days.
Can you keep the phone?
That I don't know.
Is your first call on your own phone, or do they make you use a payphone?
Here we go. Representatives of the wireless industry as well as safety advocates have backed a uniform statewide law, arguing that varying codes create a maze for drivers. In Rockland County, for example, County Executive C. Scott Vandehoff vetoed a bill the legislature passed because it included a punishment of 10 days in jail. Vandehoff said it was too harsh.
Yeah, but they can lock you up for misdemeanors now anyway, says the Supreme Court. So,
this kind of like mandates that they lock you up for this specific thing. And it's, what are we talking about here? I mean, you drive recklessly, you cause accidents. That's something that's bad. But to say that this, leads to it. Anyway, they're going to, they actually did vote on this yesterday in Nassau County. In Nassau, it's different because you can't even dial a phone. I'm not sure how that works in Suffolk. You can dial a phone, but you can't speak on it. Well, I guess you can dial the phone and use that special little thing.
Maybe that explains
all those calls you get.
But
yeah, maybe so.
The dialing seems to me to be the most dangerous part if you're looking at the phone trying to dial.
What about reading your email or sending email? They don't say anything about that, and I can do both on both of my phones.
Wait a second. Why do you have to look at your phone to dial? You don't know where the one is? It's not that hard.
Well, actually, one of my phones dials...
Don't you just yell into your phone?
They dial double digits every now and then, so you have to check.
That's not good.
Yeah, so...
That was it.
That's all you get is a beep?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a warning beep, meaning you only have 10 seconds left.
No, I think that was
possibly.
It.
Possibly. I don't know.
Either that or we stopped talking for too long. And
I think the Sprint lady would come on and say something.
You have reached the maximum time permitted to record. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
Are we
satisfied?
To
your message,
I don't know. I think we should listen
2.
To it.
To re-record,
I think we should re-record.
3. To enter a callback number, press 4.
All right.
To cancel, press star.
I'm pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
To send your message now, press 1. To mark urgent, press 2.
Oh, yeah. This is urgent.
To mark private, press 3.
Yeah, private.
What if you want to mark it urgent and private?
Can we encrypt it with CSS?
Message marked urgent. To send your message now, press 1.
Send it in 7
message
weeks.
Message marked urgent and private.
Ah, okay, there we
send
go.
Send your message now, press 1. Message sent.
All right.
Thank
you. Thank you for Bernie. Okay, now we have... I just lost my headphones totally. Okay, they're back. We have a lot of feedback from...
The high-pitched squealing kind? Or
no,
the
not that kind of feedback.
Kind.
A lot of feedback from the trial. Here's one letter from somebody, which I thought was pretty good. Here's a question for you. If a computer program isn't artistic speech, then what are video games? Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger, etc. are all very expressive pieces of software. There's nothing more to them that little ones and zeros, just like the DACSS code has. Taking that analogy a bit further, are movies like Toy Story or Final Fantasy artistic speech? They were completely created in a computer. Does that make it any less artistic or expressive? Programmers, like many professionals, see beauty in good jobs of their work. An architect will see beauty in a well-designed skyscraper, a carpenter in a well-built home, or a car enthusiast in a 1967 Shelby Cobra GT500 perfectly restored.
Ooh.
A programmer also will see beauty in a fast, succinct, and flawless piece of code. The judges in the appeal seem to have a better grasp on the fundamentals of this case than the last judge, but the lawyers are still just as confused and mindless. I don't know if my statements will be of any help to you at all, but I just wanted to do a little part I could. Signed, Jason. And Jason, thanks very much for that bit of info there, because it is a form of art, I think, for a lot of people.
Well, it has some interesting implications. I mean, in the case of Toy Story, the movie he gave, I mean, which part is actually the part that's beautiful. The code that made the images, like using, you know, PavRay or whatever it was, or the actual resultant image of the work. It's the difference between trying to copyright an artist's brush or his painting.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, yes, you can look at a piece of source code and say, wow, this is really beautiful. But in and of itself, that much is expression. And well, I gave a very lengthy reply to that particular piece of mail. I wish I had it on me so I could read it, but unfortunately I don't.
It's not in your head anymore, is
it? Not in my head anymore.
Okay, on another subject, there's another radio station in town that is in danger. Well, all radio stations pretty much everywhere are in danger these days.
Unless they've already been taken over, which is many of them.
Many of them have been. They're owned by, you know, Disney or what's the other one?
Clear Channel.
Which owns over 1,000 radio stations. Just keep grabbing them up. But here in New York City, we still have a few independent voices. There is an independent voice that is possibly at very great risk. And no, I'm not talking about WBAI. I'm talking about WEVD, a station that's been around forever. Mm. They used to be FM, in fact. They used to be, I think, 97.9. And I remember they used to be the station that speaks your language. They played all kinds of different programs from all different languages. Anyway, there is a rumor afoot that the station is about to be sold to Disney. In fact, let me read you a piece of a press release which came out yesterday. Listeners to radio station WEVD AM 1050 in New York City, they moved to 1050 in the great radio swap of the late 80s, and that used to be a country station and a sports station, then EVD wound up there. Anyway, they have been lobbying the owners of the station, known as the Forward Association, not to sell the standalone news talk radio station to Disney/ABC/ESPN.
/CIA.
The rumored sale price is considered to be in the neighborhood of $80 to $85 million, with the new owners using the frequency to be the flagship station of the growing ESPN sports radio network. There's enough sports on radio. I mean, do you guys really think that sports is being covered enough?
Oh, no.
No, we need more sports.
I need sports 24 hours a second.
We need sports here on WBAI. You know, there's no sports shows on this station. What's wrong with that? All right. Well, we'll talk later. Anyway, the efforts by the listeners group known as Save WEVD, and they can be seen at www.savewevd.com. And the creation,
not getting sued, are they?
The creation of the website. The members of Save WEVD concentrated their efforts on generating letters, emails, and phone calls to the Forward Association detailing what the station meant to them as an independent alternative voice in New York City, countering the dominance of right-wing and hate radio on the dial.
Wait a second. Right-wing and hate radio are lumped into the same group there?
Well, I saw an and between them, but... you know,
yeah,
you
that's
jump
the conjunctive
that
article there.
You think you're being attacked by having right-wing associated with hate radio, that might be something that you might want to deal with somebody else, but are you denying there's hate radio on the radio? Are you denying there's right-wing radio on the radio?
I'm saying they're not one and the same.
That's why the and is there.
Okay.
I'll be happy to teach you some English
Thank
later.
You.
But anyway, it was felt by the members of Save WEVD that the owners of WEVD were honorable people who were committed to progressive social and political issues. The tenor of the effort by Save WEVD was respectful and civil. As time passed, it became increasingly clear that the strategy of the Forward Association was to ignore the efforts of Save WEVD and not respond. A formal request was made by representatives of Save WEVD to meet with Samuel Norridge, president of the Forward Association. This request was also ignored. A number of rumors have surfaced in the press that the sale has already been made. There is speculation that the announcement of the sale has been delayed for tax purposes. Save WEVD has decided to intensify its efforts by forming two new committees. The first committee is a legal committee to explore options for taking legal action to stop the rumored sale of WEVD. And the second committee is a research committee to find out the true history of how the Forward Association gained control of the license to WEVD and how its business affairs have been conducted in recent years. Again, there's a lot more information about this, and it's fascinating always to watch people trying to save radio because it is very much, broadcasting in general is very much in danger these days. The site is www.savewevd.com, and if you're interested in becoming part of that or learning more, there's also a phone number, 212-726-1385, and we'll keep an eye on that situation. I've been following radio in this town for ages, and it's sad to see what's happened. There have been so many independent voices that have been silenced over the years and just taken over by, you know, brainless corporations operating out of Texas or something.
Is the Forward Association the same people that publish the Jewish newspaper? Do you know?
Could very well be. Could very well be. So I'm not sure myself, but if somebody knows that, maybe they can call us and tell us. Okay, now, on to our particular problems. Well, we have a couple of issues here. We mentioned the lawsuit that was brought against us in federal court in Detroit by the Ford Corporation.
Those of you who can't see on the radio, Emmanuel's holding a very thick stack of papers right now.
I'll drop it so you can hear how heavy it is. Whoa. All right, that's a heavy document there. Wow. And you know what? These people still haven't served me with it, all right? I sent them a letter. I've been bending over backwards for these people. I sent them a letter saying, you know what? I'm waiving my right to be served just so we can get on with this thing already. So here you go. No thank you, nothing. Not a phone call, nothing. I sent them this, so I guess they're leaving this, you know, in the location they left it is enough, you know, that they have to do now, even though they left it there before I sent them a letter. You know what? I don't care. I've got the thing in my hand now. I know what you're trying to say, what you're trying to do, so let's just, you know, deal with it. I've also tried to get them to understand that there's a technical solution to this. First of all, they never sent us a cease and desist letter to tell us to stop pointing the site that they don't like at them. And a little background here. The site has nothing to do with Ford. The site has to do with General Motors, except it's got a four-letter word in front of the in front of the word General Motors.
That begins with F, just like Ford does.
Fish.
Well, yeah, you know, Ford is a four-letter word beginning with F, but never mind that.
Fire.
The point is that...
Frog.
Freak.
All right. Your people are suspended for a minute. The point is that that they didn't like the fact that this site that had a word that they didn't like with their competitor's name after it pointed to them. And they felt that somehow they had the right to demand that it not point to them. Now, anyone who has used the internet for the past however many years knows that that's not how the net works. You can point to whatever you want. You can say, you know, all different kinds of words. And it's just the way the net works. You can't say, oh, you're not allowed to point to me. I mean, if we went out and found all the people who were pointing to 2600.com and demanded they not point to us, can you imagine what kind of legal nonsense we'd be engaged in for years, centuries probably? It'd be absolutely insane. That's not how things work. Ford wants to redefine the way the net works and say that, no, you're not allowed to do this. You can't point this site at us because we say so. Not that we ever told you that. We're just going to take you to court. Now, these guys are asking for a phenomenal amount of money. They're asking for all their legal fees, which you can only imagine what that's going to wind up. They're asking for triple damages, whatever that means. And they say that the damages are incalculable.
It says on another page they're asking for no money, though.
Yeah, I saw that, too. So I don't know what it is that they're
trying
to do.
They're covering all their options.
They certainly are. Here's the thing. There's a hearing. We managed to get it rescheduled because it was originally scheduled for a couple of days after we initially found out about this. Hearing is scheduled for a week from this coming Friday in Detroit. Now, what we're thinking of doing, and I'd like to know if people are interested in this, is having a little caravan that goes from New York past the New York State Thruway, passing Poughkeepsie, Albany, you know, Rochester, and Buffalo, Toronto, Windsor, and then Detroit. You know, we just have a line of vehicles just going there to, you know, to stand up in federal court and explain how the internet works to these people and hopefully put an end to this nonsense once and for all. What do you think?
I think there are much faster ways to get there than the Thruway.
Well, how would you go? I'm not taking the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
No, I'm never liked 87 that. To. Well, we can talk about that later.
All right. Well,
actually, I have the way
maybe
here.
our list, kind of cars? Well, the point is to get listeners involved and to get readers involved. So
not using
we can,
Fords or General Motors cars, are we?
No, you know the van is a Dodge.
Yeah.
Is that owned by Ford now?
I think that's GM, isn't it?
Is it GM? Okay, yeah. Fine then. But it's something that I think we need to do, and we're open to all kinds of suggestions as to how to go about doing this, and if people have any ideas for ways of defending ours. I know, you know, a lot of people might not agree with the actual sentiment involved, but the reason this site was taken in the first place was because we knew there was a fight for freedom of speech coming down the road, and indecent speech is always the first speech that's attacked. So if we allow that, who knows what they will say next can't be pointed to them. Now, we've tried. We've tried very hard, and I'm going to pass the lawsuit around if people want to find little snippets or tidbits that might be of particular interest. It's hard to read that kind of talk. We have tried very hard to, you know, to reach some kind of an understanding here. I mean, as I said, there was no notice by Ford to to us, even though such a notice probably would not have met well with us if it was phrased in an accusatory tone. If somebody is nice about it, of course, you know, we can take into account, okay, you know, this is making you uncomfortable. We'll point to someplace else. It's a decent thing to do. But when someone comes at you and says, we demand this, you kind of say, you know, you kind of want to make a site and put their name in it with a four-letter word. That's just the way human nature is. So they didn't do that. They didn't even try and tell us that they were upset by this. They just filed their papers in federal court. We can change this with a snap of our fingers. You know, we can point it any place else. But after they do this, how can we possibly just, you know, say that? First of all, it doesn't stop the lawsuit because they're still suing us. So obviously the site has remained as it is. But here's the other interesting point. The interesting point is that they can stop it themselves. That's right. You can make a website not point to you. There's ways of doing that that are very simple, and we've told them this as well. In fact, we're willing to give them the specific words that they have to input in order to make this happen. I don't know if that's going to make any difference either, but we've bent over backwards to help them. Now, the thing is, you know, we can only bend over so much before we have to start fighting back, and that's why it's with a heavy heart that I have to tell you that effective as of 5:21 p.m. this afternoon, 2600 Enterprises, headquartered in Middle Island, New York, officially registered FordReallySucks.com. It's not something I wanted to do, but we had to do it. And there'll be more information on that website about these things that are happening, as well as maybe some other issues involving Ford that never would have come to light were it not for this. And I wonder if many people out there who are currently looking for cars would be kind enough to forward to us any decisions they might make as a result of this. I mean, we're going to have to spend a significant amount of money. The EFF, we cannot expect them to be here for every single one of our battles. We're going to have to do this one on our own, and it could wind up costing a lot of money, and we might have to spend the majority of our resources defending a four-letter word, defending our right to point something somewhere. It has to be done.
Well, is it going to be worth it?
Yeah, I think it has to be worth it. I mean, where do you draw the line? Do you say, well, because this is, you know, an indecent word, we're not going to support it?
Let's think about this for a second. I mean, you're not exactly hosting a site that is talking about factory recalls and things from General Motors or from Ford.
Do you think that would make a difference?
It's basically just kind of childish name-calling. I mean, I'm not sure I would invest that much time or money into defending childish name-calling.
Let me tell you right now, I would happily point it to a site that did that. And in fact, we asked many times, is there someone who wants to host a site? And, you know, we got people that said, yeah, but they never really showed us anything. So we have the site. We can point it any place we want. That's where it stands. We haven't been doing anything with it. It's just pointing to, you know, a random site.
Well, that's something I'd like. That's something I'd like to see.
Okay. Well, the invitation is out there. But you understand now that if a site were to exist tomorrow, we can't back down on this because they're telling us you do not have the right to point to us.
Which is absurd.
It's totally absurd. And until it's proven in a court of law, or until they back down and say, yes, you can point to us, we don't like it, but you can do it, it's, you know, it's your right. You know, at that point, yeah, we can point to any place else we want, and we will. And, you know, if such a site exists, I'd happily point to something because I don't think much is served by having. And we have other corporations too, many of them, that point to all kinds of different places. You know, the whole fiasco with NBC and CBS and other ones. So, yeah, ideally, it would be nice to have these sites do something significant, and that's what I hope winds up happening. But right now, it's a different issue. It's, you know, they're coming after us, telling us we are not allowed to do this, and that's something that really offends me. All right, we're running out of time, so let's take some phone calls. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. Oh, also, I wanted to mention this to people, too. Concerning the last couple of marathons, I know a couple of people, I was at the Trenton Computer Show, gave the keynote address out
there.
You did?
How did that go?
It was fun. I couldn't believe I spoke for an entire hour, but I did.
You do that every week. Come on.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm going to do it this week, too, if I'm not careful. But it was great seeing people there. Very, very nice group of people down in Trenton, or actually in Edison, but it was a lot of fun.
So the Trenton Computer Fair is not in Trenton.
Yeah, but that's another discussion. The point is, a lot of people were asking about the fundraisers. A lot of people were interested in BAI, of course. There are two fundraisers that we're still trying to catch up to, and unfortunately, take off my headphones again. Okay. Totally cannot hear myself right now.
It's, yeah.
You can hear me, though, right?
Yeah, I
can. Okay. I'm back. This is really weird what's going on here. So if you pledge for the fall drive, which was the one back in September, October, we don't know who you are because we have to send the Jello Biafra CDs, and unfortunately we can't get the list of names that we usually got. So what I'm asking people to do, if you've already gotten something from us, like we had several premiums for that particular marathon, if you've already gotten something from us, you will be getting, and additionally, the Jello Biafra CD. However, if you didn't get anything for us and you pledged the minimum amount for the Jello Biafra CD, which was $25, just send us proof that you paid your pledge. And you can send that to us here at the radio station, WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We're going to hold that open for the next 2 weeks. So if you, in fact, pledged in the fall marathon, just send us mail here saying that and showing proof that you paid. And then that will tell us how many of the CDs we have to get, and then we'll just send them out to everybody. Now, the marathon that took place after that, the winter marathon, we have a bunch of videotapes that we're going to be sending out as well. Unfortunately, since we can't get the names, we have to bring them all here, and I think there are something like 15 videotapes per person, so we're literally going to have to rent a truck to bring all those in here. That's the next challenge. We're going to take care of this one first, then we're going to take care of the second one, and hopefully everything will be caught up within a couple of weeks. So apologies for the mayhem there, but that's sometimes the way things go. Let's take some phone calls. 212-209-2900. Where should we go first? Let's go over... This phone system is still kind of screwy, you know?
It's getting worse every week.
It seems to be. Good evening. You're on the air. Yeah, look at that. A lot of lines taped up, but they're the ones that are ringing. All right. If you can't get through, my apologies for that, too. Let's try this one over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good. Good choice.
Yeah.
You want to entertain a Napster question, even though it's growing rapidly useless?
Yeah, it is kind of useless, but go ahead.
All right. This is the question. If one finds... something that's interesting and that there's a username attached, and then one, me being the one, wants to see what this user has in their entire offering rather than just the particular artist that was entered for a search. Is there a way to get to that information?
You're asking for Napster support here?
The answer is yes, and I'm not sure exactly where it is in your client.
But it's one of... if you have the real Napster, the official Napster client, it's one of the options that you can click on. Just keep clicking on stuff. And
yeah, that's basically all we can tell you. But I don't know. Doesn't Napster have a hotline where they give information on this kind of
thing? I've never even used a program. It's don't look at me.
Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Hey, James. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
All right, Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeehaw.
There's a couple things I want to talk about. First off, I'm planning on starting a low-power FM station down here in Louisville. I'm kind of using you guys as an inspiration for that.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any suggestions as far as resources and so forth? Because all the companies that sell FM gear are geared to the larger radio stations. And I just thought maybe you'd have some insights into that.
How large a station are we talking about?
Well, the low-power FM license that I can get from the FCC will be for 50 watts.
You can actually get one of these licenses?
Yes, the window will open up in June, from like June 12th to 15th or something like that. I'll be able to apply for the license.
Mm-hmm. I know there are vendors out there. There are people who sell low-power equipment.
What were we looking for?
He's looking for low-power FM equipment for the station he anticipates getting, which hopefully
you might want to contact the Prometheus Radio Project.
Yeah, that's a good group.
There's a bunch of little projects out there going around. If you can go to your local Hamfest and... they're going to crop up like you wouldn't believe in the summer.
Go to the Dayton Ham Venture, which is taking place in a couple of weeks. Yeah. That's fairly near
and also,
Kentucky.
Check out eBay for all of the ex-NSA transmitters and tuners that they're selling.
Dayton Ham Fest, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on.
Just
it's
make
weird,
sure.
You know, this. Why do I see two calls here? That doesn't
make
any
sense.
You
have some news on your Ford case. Isaac looked online, and you're being sued under the Establishment of Department and Seal section of the law.
What the hell does that mean?
They have the trademark office has a seal. That's the section you're being sued under.
I didn't touch their seal. What are they talking about?
They cite here cause of action 15 U.S.C. section 1501, the Lanham Act, a.k.a. the Anti-Cyber Squatting Consumer Protection Act.
This isn't cyber squatting. It's not even their name.
Yeah, but the...
However, I look at 15 U.S.C. 1501. I'm looking at it. It's like 1501. That's very strange.
Quite different.
And the title of that is Establishment of Department, Secretary and Seal. There shall be at the seat of government an executive department to be known as the Department of Commerce and a Secretary of Commerce who shall be the head thereof.
Can we get to the heart of the matter here?
What does it mean? It basically establishes the Department of Commerce.
So I'm being sued under the Department of Commerce?
No, no. On their suit, they misplaced the letters in the Lanham Act.
Okay, good. So the whole thing gets thrown out.
Could be.
Wonderful.
Because
it's a technicality, but it's kind of interesting.
Hey, technicalities. Except, if they work for criminals, maybe they can work for me.
That's like saying that charging him with murder and getting, and they say, oh, well, we got the number mixed up. Sorry, it's a technicality.
Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hey, Manuel, this is Mike from out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
How you doing?
Good. Just wanted to let you know that I went to the Ohio Film Fest showing of Freedom Downtime.
You're kidding. Wow, you actually made it there.
Yeah.
That's great.
It took like 3 hours for me to get there, called off work, but it was awesome. I loved it.
Wow, I'm so impressed that somebody actually took the time to make it to that film festival and see the film. That's really good. So you liked the film?
Yeah, it was a really good film, and I never really been to a film fest. Didn't know what to expect.
Uh-huh.
I'd say there's probably like 20 people there, not as many as I thought there would be, but...
Did anybody run for the exits during the film? Or?
No, it was nice. Everyone was laughing at certain parts, and it was pretty great.
Did people stay for the end of the credits? Because you kind of miss the way it ends if you don't.
No, a few people did,
uh-huh.
But most people just kind of walked out.
Yeah, unfortunately. You think at a film festival, people would stay for the credits, but...
Yeah, you know.
Well, hopefully that'll be out soon. We're still working on getting the final music rights, and hopefully that'll be done really, really soon. We certainly don't want to hold back on this.
Is that coming out where you can actually buy it on videotape?
That's what we're shooting for. We're shooting for.
All right. That's cool.
Okay, thanks so much for being a part of that.
Yeah, thanks for showing it.
Okay, and thanks to the Athens, Ohio Film Festival for actually showing it. You know, first film festival we've been accepted to. And it might be the last for all I know. I'm not sure. We have to submit it to a bunch of others. All right, let's take one more phone call, then we'll be out of here. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
I was just wondering if you could make Freedom Downtime available on your FTP server.
Well, we can make it available in all kinds of different formats as soon as we get the right to make it available at all.
Right. We're waiting for the year.
Yeah, we're talking about, videotape, online, DVDs, region-free, all kinds of neat things like that. Okay, so we are out of time. I guess what we'll be doing is we'll be focusing on this latest lawsuit and figuring out just where we're going to go from there.
They printed the disputed domain name so many times in this complaint.
I've never seen so much foul language in a lawsuit before.
It's amazing.
I mean, I'm embarrassed to read that lawsuit. And the thing is, I'm going to be the one that's held accountable for that four-letter word appearing everywhere. We just registered one site and pointed it someplace. It's not the end of the world. Anyway, anyone with any advice or opinions, please feel free to email us, oth@2600.com. We'll see you again next week. Take care. The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Bumpily bump for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bumpily bump.
Adverse Possession Gallery at Casa del Sol, the International Indigenous Community Center, presents Mott Haven Matters, Future City, an exhibit of visionary design. Attend the opening May 19th, 5 to 7 p.m. at 672 East 136th Street in Cypress Avenue. Take the number 6 train to Cypress Avenue in the Bronx. For more information, call 718-292-6443. The Future City Project will transform Casa del Sol into an ecologically self-sustaining international facility in the South Bronx. Opening May 19th, the exhibit will be on display through June 23rd. Call 718-292-6443, 292-6443. This is a public service announcement by WBAI on behalf of the Cherry Tree Association, reestablishing harmony between humans and nature. In solidarity with the spirit of Crazy Horse, this is Zool.
What has three major...